Well, hey, everybody, it's Donna Partow, and I'm welcoming you to week two of the Summer Renewal. And we are together to discover God's solution and finally get healthy in spirit, soul, and body. We're going to figure out how to do that from the inside out because we've tried it the other way. We've tried it from the outside in, right? We've all tried it from, we've all tried diets, and those haven't worked real well. Because if they had, we wouldn't be here. But we are here together, and I definitely need prayer. I have major distraction in the background here. So let's just pray and believe that God's going to be bigger. I apologize if I seem a little thrown off. Okay, so God, I need your help, and I just ask that you would help me to focus and to not be distracted, and I need you to be bigger. Holy Spirit, I really need you to be bigger. And to intervene. And I pray that the message that you have for us today would come forth clearly, and that you would be strong when I'm weak. And I know that you're able to do that. In fact, it's one of your specialties. So Holy Spirit, I ask that because of all that's happening, all the miscommunication in the background, that your spirit would take the helm and make the communication of this message even more powerful than it otherwise would have been had this not ruckus been created in the background. And I just believe, God, that you are going to be bigger. And we know that there is an enemy who does not want this message to come through clearly. But you have a message for your daughters, and I just believe that you are going to be able to communicate it in this hour. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, your first, I want to welcome you to week two. And the first principle here at the 90-day renewal is to recognize that your body, and apparently today's session, is on the front line of a spiritual war. And so let's just begin with this wonderful prayer from John G. Lake. My God and Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. Take me as I am. Make me what I ought to be in spirit, in soul, in body. Give me power to do right. If I have wronged any, should say wronged, if I have wronged anyone, to repent, to confess, to restore. Sometimes we miss that last one. No matter what it cost, wash me in the blood of Jesus that I may now become your child. And manifest you in a perfect spirit, a holy mind, and a sickless body. Amen. And we said that your prayer place is priority number one. And we want you to make it the most beautiful, welcoming place in your home. That way, you'll want to spend more time there. This is an actual little prayer place in Dewey Tama, Colombia. And I walked into the house, and the presence of God just permeated the place. And her father actually handmade that rocking chair for her. And he had passed away, but she would wake up each morning, and she would sit in that handmade rocking chair and meditate on God's word day and night. And this is one of our affirmations. I meditate on God's word day and night. I love to memorize scripture. And I'm telling you, lost in translation. I didn't speak any English. She didn't speak any Spanish. But believe me, the peace of God so permeated that place. There weren't any words. I didn't need any words. I didn't need any words. Because the Holy Spirit's presence was so powerful. And I didn't need to know, you know, what her daily routine was. I can tell you what her daily routine was just by walking in that room. And we challenged you beginning week one, you know, where will you meet with God? Moses had a tent, Jesus had a mountain, you know, I've got a chair, post a picture of it. And we appreciate those of you who posted. This picture, this is amazing. This should be like a book cover. Some of you meet with God outdoors on your daily walk. I also find that I hear from God often clearly when I'm out in creation, up on a mountain, in the woods, by the ocean. Others have indoor places to meet with God. This person has a prayer partner here, a comfy, cozy chair, and a little friend. Another person outdoors. A lot of people, maybe because it's the summer renewal, meeting with God outdoors. Another indoor spot. Thank you so much for sharing them. I could not choose just one winner. It's a tie. And so both of you are going to receive a gift from me. So here's what it is to begin with. I like the animal print. And look what she turned it into. I mean, this is just incredible. You have to look really carefully. Let me show you this. This is her kitchen. And this was just an empty area near the kitchen. So she put up a curtain. Are you seeing this? And set up a little desk. So that was Carolyn Mathis. So she's one of our winners. I thought this was absolutely incredible and creative. I'm assuming she put up this curtain not to distract herself from all the work that could be and should be done in the kitchen. Amen? Brilliant idea. And this was incredible as well. This is a closet. That's the before picture. And check out the after picture. What an amazing, cozy little place she's created for herself. This is Rebecca Drury. I love this. Took a little unseen nook and made it somewhere wonderful. Her little spot to meet with God. So congratulations to both of you ladies. And this week I want to focus on breaking free of the gambling spirit. And I put this in the area of our spiritual lives because I know in my own life it's spiritual. Sometimes things can get passed down. We're going to introduce the curse-breaking prayer probably around week 5. We'll kind of see how it goes, but I'm going to introduce that to you. And sometimes there are patterns that are passed down through generations, and sometimes there are even curses that can be passed down through generations. And then there are things that we bring upon ourselves through vows and judgments. And if you're not familiar with that, basically a vow and a judgment is when we put ourselves in the place of God. And when we put ourselves in the place of God, God's like, oh, okay, so you're the judge and jury now? Okay, so in that area of your life, you're on the throne. You've exalted yourself to the place of judge, and it really opens the door for an enemy, the enemy to come in. We've opened a door to him, and that's what I did in my own life, in this area of the gambling spirit. And so for you, it could be, when I'm going to go in and describe it, but before I want to do, for you, it could be just a collection of bad habits, and it really isn't a spiritual thing at all, okay? For you, it could be a pattern that's passed down in your family, and you need to pray. It's like a curse, and it needs to be broken off. And for others of you, maybe like me, and you had a gambler in your family, and you judged them and said, I would never be a gambler like them. So I'm not sure what it is, but I will just about guarantee you that in one way or another, everyone listening to my voice is going to be able to resonate with us to one degree or another. Some of you, off the chart gambling addict, need to be in Gamblers Anonymous, like me. And others of you, it's just kind of a moderate thing and something to be aware of. My mother, love my mother. I don't in any way want to dishonor my mother. She's passed away. But she had a serious gambling problem, and it really affected our family. You know, she started with bingo, and then when the casinos opened, we lived in New Jersey, the Atlantic City casinos opened, a lot of families went bankrupt. And it definitely, there were some things that weren't so good there. And here's the surprise. I judged her, and I made a vow. I would never gamble and cause so much financial difficulty and problems for my family. I judged her. And that really opened a door spiritually because, as I said, vows and judgments unleash powerful spiritual forces. And God has been showing me over the past year all the many ways that this gambling spirit has manifested in my life. And let's just look, you know, just some practical ways that we gamble. We gamble that we can go ahead and eat junk food and we're not going to gain weight. We can go ahead and have soda, even though soda is pretty much the worst thing that you could put into your body. It literally corrodes your insides. Is there anyone who hasn't seen that thing where Coca-Cola corrodes metal? Smoking. Sitting all day. They're now saying that sitting is worse for your health than smoking. We can just sit all day and that's going to be fine. Diets. Every diet is a gamble. We're looking for a shortcut. And God began to show me the contrast between a gambler and a farmer. See, a farmer works the soil. They plant the seeds, waters the plants, diligently watches over them as they grow, and prepares for the harvest, and then works 24/7 when it is harvest time. That's what a farmer does. And if you look throughout Scripture from beginning to end, God is calling us to be farmers. He honors and rewards the diligent. Think about this. The farmer works for a harvest that is commensurate with the effort he has invested. If he plants a row of cucumber seeds, guess what he's expecting and working for? He's working for a row of cucumbers. If he plants two rows of cucumbers, do you know what he's expecting? He's expecting two rows of cucumbers. This is exactly the opposite of a gambling spirit. A gambling spirit is, I won't even put down a seed and I'll get a whole field full of cucumbers somehow, right? The farmer understands, look, if I want this result in my life, I'm going to have to work at it every day, little bits with consistency. Whatever I want to reap, that's what I'm going to have to sow. And however much of it I want to reap, that's how many seeds that I'm going to have to sow. They understand this. And God wants us to have a farming spirit, to be farmers. A gambler does the opposite. A gambler puts a few slots into the machine and gambles that the return on investment will not be commensurate with the effort invested. Exactly the opposite. A gambler hopes against hope that a small gamble will deliver a massive payoff, a payoff far beyond what's reasonable to expect. I'll go on a diet is the ultimate gamble. It's like, you know, I'm going to take, a week. I'm going to go on a diet for a week or 30 days, or can I say it? I'm going to go on a diet for 90 days and then I'll be great. The rest of my life, I'm not going to have any more problems. That's a gamble. That's a gamble. Fit, healthy people do not go on diets. They don't. Shocker. Should I say it again? Fit, healthy people don't go on diets. I know a lot of fit, healthy people. Trust me on this one. They have a lifestyle, a permanent lifestyle, and a permanent pattern of behavior, and a lifetime commitment to a certain way of eating and living and showing up every day. They don't diet because diets don't work. So the question is, are you a farmer or a gambler? Are you committed to the daily diligence, little bits with consistency, required to bring in a mighty harvest? Again, you know, does a farmer 1 year for 90 days do some work, and then the rest of their life, okay, great, so glad I did that 90-day thing. Now I'm great. Now I'm good to go. Does he do that, or does he understand? No, this is who I am. I am a farmer. Farming isn't something I did one time. Farming is my character. It's my lifestyle. It's who I am. It's who I'm becoming. And I'm going to be doing this every day for the rest of my life because I live on a farm and I'm a farmer. And as long as we live on this earth in these bodies, we're going to have to care for them. And we're going to have to plant good seeds if we want to reap a good harvest. Does this make sense? And this is just a paradigm shift here. Or, you know, a gambling spirit. And again, this is something God is showing me just in the past year. I've struggled with it probably for a lifetime. Are you hoping that you can do the bare minimum, hit the jackpot, and reap rewards that are in no way commensurate with the amount of time invested? This has been so big in my life, looking for the big payoff. And I see it. I have people in my life, and I love them, but this is their mindset. They're always looking for the big payoff, you know. I mean, farming includes an element of risk. When I say gambling, I don't mean, you know, just risk, right? Because farming involves some risk and it requires faith. The farmer works in faith, doing all he can do and believing God to do what he can't do, like the 90-day renewal. You know, is there an element of risk here that, you know, you could do all the right things and that wretched scale is not going to move as much as you're hoping? Come on, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Look, there's a little risk that you set a goal to lose 50 pounds and it may not happen exactly like that. But it requires faith. What you need to do is focus on what you can do and believe that God's going to do the parts that you can't do. Isn't that what a farmer does? He gets every day, plants seeds, weeds the garden. But I mean, if a tornado comes or a hurricane or, you know, some other, he can't control that. There's some things out of his control. But that's okay. You do what you can do. The farmer has to believe that there is a loving God who's in control of those things outside of his control. He has to work knowing that without God, the harvest will not come. And pray believing that God will bless and the harvest will come. Things don't always work out perfectly. But we know that God is for us. And we've got to believe that. We've got to have faith. Now, does the gambler have faith? Not really. See, the gambler hopes that God will do those things that God expects us to do. That's not faith, that's presumption. Do you see the difference? Gambling says, you know, I won't make these lifestyle changes. I won't spend time. I don't want to get too far ahead because we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper. And God will just drop it down upon me out of heaven. Let me give you the definition of gambling. To play a game for money or property, to bet, to take a chance, to risk on an uncertain outcome. Now here's the big thing, to expose yourself to danger and to proceed in the face of it. That's the heart of the gambling spirit, especially when it comes to our health. We are gambling when we expose ourselves to danger and proceed in the face of it. When we know all these things. We know sitting all day, not getting up and exercising, staying up late at night, watching TV, staring at our computer, eating junk food. I mean, we know that we're putting our health at risk. But we just proceed in the face of it. That is really the heart. When you do those things that the Lord has shown you, you need to not be doing, or when you don't do those things the Lord has shown you, you need to do, you're really taking a gamble. And I do want to balance this with grace and with mercy, because of course there's grace and of course there's mercy. But gambling gives a false hope. Gamblers expect that big payoff without any effort. A farmer has real hope because they're putting in the effort. They're doing what's reasonable. They're doing what they can do. And then trusting that God is going to give them a payoff commensurate with their work. I hope this is clear. Gamblers want to attain, this is the heart of it. Gamblers want to attain a desirable result without having to do the hard work others have done to get that same result. Again, I'll repeat this because it's really the heart of it. Gamblers want to attain a desirable result without having to do the hard work others have done to get that same result. And I'll just talk about myself, because this is what God's been convicting me of. Yeah, we want to take a pill. I want to look like, you know, the women who have been going to the gym every day for the last 20 years, and I want to look like they do by taking a pill. Right? Or is it just me? Hopefully, and you can come into the chat, let me know if I'm alone or if I have some friends here. We take the exercise gamble. Even if we start with the 30 minutes a day, which we encourage you to do here at The Renewal, it's kind of a gamble to think that that would be enough to overcome 23 and a half hours per day of being completely sedentary. And that's why, as you'll see as we proceed, I'm going to introduce the idea of, you know, just doing little extra, getting up throughout the day and just doing little 5 minutes of exercise, just 5 little minute segments of stretching throughout the day. Because 30 minutes, as wonderful as it is, and I know that for a lot of you, that's going to be a huge step in the right direction. That's going to be new seeds that you're planting for your healthy harvest, and that's fantastic. But eventually, and maybe not the first renewal, but this is, again, this is the new you. You are a farmer. You're not just doing 90 days of farming. I would love to see you grow into a lifestyle where you just get into the habit of, you know, once an hour, just get up and do some stretches. Raise your arms, you know, in the air. Do a couple jumping jacks. Walk around the block. Do something. But become less sedentary and more active. Do you take mental gambles? I've been a mental gambler. I can watch this show. I can read this book. I can listen to this music or this garbage, and it won't affect me. That's a gamble. I can have the TV going on in the background all day. Can listen to secular music, and it won't affect me. You know, it's funny. You all know I'm living in Cali, right? And it's so loud here. I definitely, it's really loud. And usually it's just really loud with Spanish music. And since I'm not really fluent yet in Spanish, it just kind of becomes white noise. And, you know, it's just back there. But this past Saturday night, they were playing all English music, all in English. And it was all old songs from, like, the 70s. So I was astonished how many of the words I knew. I knew so many of the words from those old songs from 30 years ago. Because music in particular, it seeps in and you just remember it. And I'm sure at some level it's got to affect you. Maybe more than we know. Kids always say that. Well, I'm not even listening to the words. Apparently, I was listening to the words because I still remember the songs from the 1960s and 70s. I mean, it's a gamble if I tell myself, hey, you know what? I'm the one person whose brain won't be affected by a steady stream of ungodly nonsense. We're gambling. I've been an emotional gambler. Wow, this is a huge one for me. I've gambled that I can hold on to all the hurts, the anger, the resentment, the anger, the frustration. And even though the Bible says a bitter root destroys many. I've gambled, you know, that's not going to be the case for me. I can plant all these seeds of bitterness and resentment. And it's get deeply rooted in my soul. But it's not going to reap a harvest. That's not going to affect my life. I mean, what other explanation is there when every one of us, if we're honest, has heard about 5,000 sermons on forgiveness, right? Haven't we? And yet we don't. We're gambling. Because we're gamblers. I'm speaking for me, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of us because I think we're fundamentally the same. It's a gamble, and that it won't affect my health. Maybe I'll do a session. I haven't done one in a while. Maybe I'll do a session this semester. And again, a lot of you have probably heard teaching on this, how they've tied specific emotions to specific diseases in the body. But these negative emotions absolutely take a toll on our health. And I have, there's some of that is in the book. It's kind of where God started me in the devotional book, Come Away, My Beloved. And in that book, she talks about how these different destructive emotions really take a toll on our physical health. And we stuff things and we stuff things and we stuff things. But I've gambled that destructive emotions. They're not going to take a toll on my spiritual, emotional, and physical health. Have you taken that gamble? Are you maybe an emotional gambler? Are you gambling that you can hold on to things and you can stuff some emotions and it's not going to show up and affect you in some ways? And again, yeah, of course, there's grace. But God's grace doesn't wipe out consequences. That's why even though I've been at so many churches and people are so sincere, they love God, but they have so many health problems. And it, really a lot of it is holding on to this emotional garbage. It's taking a physical toll. And the reality, and this is a quote from Chuck Swindoll, it's included in the book, is that we reap what we sow, forgiveness notwithstanding. God loves us, but he doesn't always give us crop failure. He doesn't. I think we should pray for it. Pray for crop failure and pray for mercy, because God says his mercies are new every morning. And we can come to God right now and say, you know what, God, I've not been a good farmer. I've been a gambler. And I've made bad decisions. Every decision we make is a seed planted in the soil of our spirit and our soul and our body. And God, I've not planted good seed. God, would you in your mercy just grant me some crop failure? Just some, not all of these things yield a destructive harvest in my life. And I believe that God will answer that prayer. I do. In fact, let's just pray it right now. Let's pray it together. Lord, we just come to you right now. And we speak to those seeds that we've sown of resentment, of anger, frustration, worry, fear, unforgiveness. And we ask, Lord, in your mercy for crop failure, that those, even those areas right now, those tentacles that are reaching into our vital organs, that are doing damage to our internal organs right now, we speak to those seeds. And we pray for crop failure. And we ask for mercy. Lord, would you begin to do a work of healing and restoration in these areas of our lives? And we can do that, and we just did it. We can pray for crop failure. But it's really not a wise life strategy. God loves us, but let's not gamble that God will forever prevent us from reaping the logical consequences of our choices. Sometimes we just don't realize. I was completely blind to this whole gambling spirit thing. And then when God opened my eyes to it, I was like, whoa, it's affecting every area of my life. Every area of my life. And now that I know better, I think, you know, as we know more, that maybe God requires more. To whom much is given, much will be required. And so I think there's tremendous grace and mercy. But now that we kind of know this, now you know, it's not enough to just say, okay, God, would you just send crop failure like every day, all day for the rest of my life and don't let me reap anything? Sometimes God loves us enough that, you know, he lets us reap a little bit. You know, that the first signs of aches and pains, the first sign, you know, that first little root coming up, the first little, no, that's not the root. What is that? That the bud, the first little bud, the first little growth coming up. We should look at it and say, Maybe I need to pay attention to that. Maybe there's some changes I need to make in my life. I was a gambler with decisions. This was a big one for me. No need to consult wise counselors. No need to think a few steps ahead. I remember someone in my life always used to tell me, "You done it, you never think two steps ahead." I didn't. I would take impulsive action and gamble that it would work out great. There was a time in my life when I would say that impulsivity was probably enemy number one. In fact, I remember writing in a notebook, impulsivity equals enemy number one. Beware impulsivity. Now, sometimes impulsivity can work out, okay? Some of you joined the 90-day renewal on an impulse. And you joined, oh, come on, I love you. We're in this together, okay? And maybe it was a gamble. You know, I've tried everything else. Let me just throw some money at this, I don't know, this crazy woman. I don't know. She seems to make some sense. I'll just throw some money at it. And 90 days from now, I'm sure I'll be better. So impulsive. That's why I had a house full of clutter, by the way. Anybody else? I'd just go out to the store. Target was my favorite, or Walmart. It just filled the cart with stuff. Like, I didn't even need it. Like, how many pairs of scissors do you need? I probably had 10. Couldn't find any of them, but, you know. Impulsivity. It's a gambling spirit. Relationship gamble. This is going to be a big ouch. Here's a gamble. I'll refuse sexual relations to my spouse, and I'll gamble that he or she is the one person who can handle daily rejection of in such a personal and profound way without at some point seeking comfort in someone else's arms. That's a huge gamble, and a lot of us women take it. How about parenting gamble? Have you gambled with parenting? I'll take the gamble that I can just let the TV be the babysitter. I can let someone else take responsibility for the spiritual growth and intellectual development, and I'm sure it'll turn out just dandy. Everything will be just fine. The Barna Group and USA Today unearthed the same statistic, separate studies. 3 out of every 4 children from Christian homes in America walk away from the faith soon after they leave high school. Unless we're being super intentional, we're gambling that our kids are going to beat those odds. And I've seen some studies that say it's even higher, that it's closer to 80%. I did some gambling with my kids. How about, I've been a spiritual gambler. I remember, my roommate was just asking me, how long have you been a Christian? I said, well, I became a Christian in 1980, and then I suddenly realized, okay, so I've been a Christian for 36 years. I remember thinking, I remember sitting in the church, looking around at people, you know, like my age, what my age is now, and thinking, wow, by the time I'm 55 years old, I'm sure that I'm going to be like a cross, a hybrid of Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. I'm sure that I'm just going to be the biggest spiritual giant in the history of spiritual giants. I'm sure that that's what's going to happen. I believed it. That just somehow was going to happen. It didn't just happen. We gamble. If you want to be Billy Graham, you kind of have to do all the stuff Billy Graham did. I want to be Heidi Baker. That's the new thing. I want to be Heidi Baker. But am I willing to sow the seeds that she sows? We take the gamble that we can neglect our time with God. Maybe go to church once a week, a couple times a month, and we're still going to be strong in our walk with God. It's a gamble. That's not farming. That's gambling. I'll take the gamble that 1 hour per week is going to outweigh the other 167 hours per week when I'm steeped in the world's way of thinking. And honestly, I think probably you're probably not a spiritual gambler, or you wouldn't be here, right? You're here. That shows me just the fact that you're listening to me talk about this, that you're probably not a spiritual gambler because you're investing in time with being here and walking with God. But, you know, one of my gambles, you know, gamble that we can lead godly lives, raise godly children, and be part of a mighty move of God while staying up late, goofing off with ungodly things. If I want to be part of a mighty move of God and you want to be part of a mighty move of God, we're going to have to plant a lot of seeds in that direction. That's a big harvest. We all, revival. Are we planting the seeds? The Bible says that those who, you know, sow with tears will reap with joy. Are we really on our face before God? I'm not enough. I'm not enough, honestly. The harvest that I want to see, the level that I want to be part of a move of God, I think I'm going to have to sow a lot more seeds. So that's the question today. Are you a farmer? Are you recognizing that you are the gardener of your soul, planting seeds? There's some spelling errors on this one. Exercising little bits with consistency, little bits with consistency. This understanding, this is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not 90 days and then, hey, great, I did that. Now all problems are solved. It's a new way of living. And that's why women come back. Semester after semester after semester, year after year, because they've become farmers. And they recognize you have to be on this every day. I don't know, I don't understand it, but I know it's true. Weeds grow on their own. Weeds don't seem to need any help at all. And I guess it's just because it's a fallen world. And it's the same. I mean, worry, anxiety, fear, insecurity, anger, frustration, all those things, they seem to grow just fine on their own without any help from me. Anybody else? Weeds. They just seem to flourish. But good seed, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, godly character, becoming like Heidi Baker or Billy Graham or Mother, you know, whoever your hero is, Mother Teresa, whoever it is. Being part of a mighty move of God, for some reason, that those seeds and that harvest doesn't just seem to spring up on its own. And the Bible says, and this is hard, but it does say that Satan is the god of this world. I mean, he just, you know, you have to think about all the universe and all the God. We have no idea how many planets and stars and other universes and other worlds and all that's out there. One little planet is Satan's playground. And we're on it. And for the record, I don't think that he invaded Earth. I think God sent man to invade. I think that I don't think Satan is the invasion force. I think we are the invasion force. Anybody get that? Satan isn't invading our wonderful, perfect little planet. We are invading the planet that he took over. We are the invasion force. And we've got to take it back by force. If we want anything good, anything God to happen on this planet, we're going to have to really roll up our sleeves and be farmers. Otherwise, we're just gamblers. We're trying to get a desirable result without doing the hard work that others have done to get that same result. I hope this is making sense. And if you're like, well, Donna, oh boy, I'm definitely a gambler. I'm thinking about all the seeds I've been planting. You know, your words are seeds. Your prayers are seeds. Everything you do, every choice you make is a seed. It's either a seed for a good harvest or seeds to, you know, chill with the weeds. Here's the good news. Tomorrow, you know, today is a brand new day. Tomorrow's a brand new day. And God has brought you here to deliver you from the gambling spirit and to make you and help you become a true farmer. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. That's what a farmer does. Farmer says, you know what? I better get to bed because tomorrow morning I've got to get up and I've got to go out and I've got to tend the field because the field left to itself is going to go to weed. Every day. Every day. Every day. Some of you are farmers, like in the natural. So you could testify how this whole thing works. God told me that if I wanted to shine like a star, that it was really pretty simple. Sow good seeds, tend the garden, always pray for the harvest, and then repeat the next day. It really is just this simple. Sow good seeds, tend the garden. That means some of the weeds have got to go, amen? Some of those things have got to be pulled up, bitter roots. Some of you need to detoxify your body. And part of what the lemon water is doing and flooding your body with vegetables, part of what that's doing is pulling up the weeds. It's detoxifying you physically. And sometimes that's not fun. I mean, we'll have people say, wow, I feel sick at the stomach. Yeah, because your body is getting rid of the weeds and the junk. And pray. See, because you can sow and you can tend the garden, but there are some things that God and God alone can do. And so we've got to pray. Do what we can do, but believe God to do those things that we can't do. And then repeat. And here's the really cool promise from God. He says the seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crop. And the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. That's God's promise to you for this 90-day renewal and for all of your life. If you plant good seeds, if you do your part, you can count on God to do his part. Just review the rest of the seven secrets. And each week we'll kind of dive deep on different ones. So the first 2 weeks, we've really been focused more on the spiritual side of things, getting your prayers set up, and really just dealing spiritually with this shift from gambler to farmer. But in coming weeks, we'll dive into some of these others. Doing it for something more significant than a scale or a dress size. I'll probably focus there next week and talk about some goal setting. Understanding the battle is waged. It's won or lost in your soul, not your body. Stop depleting your limited supply of willpower. Step 5 is overcoming. Understanding the overcoming emotional eating triggers is critical to lifelong weight management, and we'll be doing a special prayer call on that. When it comes to exercise, little bits with consistency. Little bits with consistency will take you further than fits and starts. And as I hinted at earlier, little bits with consistency, not just every day, but the really cool thing would be if you did a little bit of exercise throughout the day. Like in the morning you took a walk, and then, you know, every hour you set a little alarm on your phone and you did some jumping jacks the first hour, and the next time it went off you did push-ups against the wall, and then the next hour, you know, get just a little couple minutes here and there. Even just getting up and walking around wherever you're sitting. In number 7, true biblical fasting is essential for health, vitality, and lifelong weight management. We'll dive deep on that in week 4. I think you'll find that really interesting. What are the steps to renewal success? Read the daily assignment in Becoming the Woman I Want to Be. Listen. Are you doing this? To the affirmations. Talk. I mean, this is the good seed right here in the soil of your soul. Listen to those affirmations and the scripture memory audios. Watch the daily video. Join the weekly webinar. If you haven't had a chance to watch the orientation and week 1, I would encourage you to do that if you possibly can this week. Meet others in the Facebook group. We are pairing up now with accountability partners. If you haven't found one yet, please lock arms with somebody. You're going to be so much more likely to be at the finish line if you have somebody spurring you on. Number 6 is to change your life through little bits with consistency. And what are we always aiming for? Do you notice this? Lifestyle changes. Permanent. Not quick fix, but permanent lifestyle changes. And I said last week, if you would just change your morning routine, you would change your entire life for real. Just change your morning routine. If you do nothing else during this 90 days but get a good morning routine, it'll change your life. There's a basic eating plan laid out in the book, real simple. We're building it incrementally. And this week, we're doing a food preparation challenge. Let me do that real quick, and then I want to take your comments, your questions, pray for some people, and hopefully this hit the mark and made some sense for some people. We're going to find that out in about 2 seconds. I like this. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Did we get that? Proper prior preparation prevents poor performance. Kind of fun. And that's why we provide you with a little shopping list. If you haven't seen these yet, they're in the Facebook group. They're posted there each week to the Files tab. I'll be putting them up on the website. We're building a permanent website right now, and they'll be made available to you on that permanent website. And we also have these cute little recipe cards. We get a whole bunch of them, and we'll be posting those up to the Files tab as well. And this kind of shows you what you would need to buy, or at least make sure you have on hand. Maybe you already have honey. Maybe you already have some of these things available. And then here's the little recipe. So these are cute. And this week, here's our new contest. Everyone who posts a photo of her food prep for the week using the hashtag prep will be entered to win. And these will just be chosen at random. I'm going to go through and just randomly pick somebody. And you're going to receive this really cute set of little mini mason jars. We believe in once a week food prep. The deadline is going to be next Sunday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And so these are examples of somebody who's made all their salads in a jar. They really do keep for a week. And they've made the cabbage soup recipe. That's my favorite. And then we puree it. You don't have to puree it. I personally find it, I just like it more. But it's up to you. Pureed, not pureed. Here's another person. They've got their salads. They're making a soup over here with lots and lots of veggies. Here's somebody who's made some, just cut up some vegetables, make it easier to eat them in a hurry. This, and you make God's food fast food. Here's some almonds. I wouldn't do more than that. Don't eat a whole bag of almonds. You know, just a little package of them. Maybe two or three. And this would be enough, I think, for two little snacks. We have recipes on the DonnaPartow.com/recipes website. And they're really great. These, all the ones that look like this with the orange and the light green, were created by a student in a prior semester, and she is a gourmet chef. I mean gourmet. So all of these recipes are absolutely fantastic. And she gives you instructions on how to do salads in a jar. And here's a specific recipe for salads in a jar that's really good. And slow cooker food, fantastic. I'm obsessed with this recipe right here. It is so incredibly good and so easy to make. Again, just throw some things in it. Salad in a jar, soup in a jar, dinners in a slow cooker, and smoothies. It prepackaged snacks. This doesn't have to take a lot of work. If we encourage you, just one day a week, do a big food prep. And it will keep, you know, for most of the week. So that is our new contest, and we'll be announcing the winner next Monday. So you have all this week to get to the store and make your salads in a jar and your soups in a jar, your slow cooker food, and post up some pictures of it. And probably the more pictures you post, the more chances you'll have. So let me go ahead and pray, and I'll end the recording there and then take your questions, comments, and feedback. So God, would you make us farmers? Lord, would you forgive us? Would you forgive me for being a gambler in so many areas of my life? Wow. Wow. Would you make me a diligent farmer? Would you help us to just shift? Because our whole culture, the whole instant gratification, the whole fast food mentality, the whole diet mentality, it's all gambling. It's all the whole thing. I believe that gambling is the spirit of the age. that we can get away with something. We can get away with the bare minimum. We're going to be the one person that the rules don't apply to, that the principles and laws of the universe, we're going to be able to defy them. That's the spirit of the age. And it's affected us. And some of us, it has infected, not just affected. All of us have been affected. And God, some of us have been infected. And I pray right now, God, that you would deliver us the entitlement mentality, the gambling spirit, the quick fix, the easy answer. Lord, would you deliver us? It doesn't make our life easier. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We've been lied to. We have been lied to, but Jesus, you are the truth. And our life is going to be so much better when we let go of looking for the easy way. How crazy is this? Our life is going to be so much easier when we stop looking for the easy way. Wow. Our life is going to be so much better when we stop telling ourselves that there's a better, quicker route. Our lives will be so much more fruitful and productive and filled with joy and meaning and purpose. And we'll have so many more hours in the day when we become farmers. Lord, would you make us farmers? And would you, I already asked this, but I ask again for some crop failure for some of us. Lord, we didn't know better. That's why we didn't do better. We believed the lies. That's why we did it. Would you forgive us? And would you be bigger? Would you, with the blood of Jesus, would you apply the blood of Jesus over some of those things? And just mercy, mercy, mercy. For a new beginning. And Lord, today we purpose in our hearts to begin planting new seeds, begin making new decisions for our life. Would you make us farmers? Amen. Well, I would love to hear from some of you. Please raise your hand and just share with us, what is God speaking in your life? I'd love to talk with some people, pray with some people. Do you have questions? Do you have comments? Is God using this renewal in your life already? We would love to hear from you. You have a little place there on your screen where you can raise your hand, and would love to hear from you. And I know that's just a tiny bit scary, so if you'd rather just type in the box. Here's somebody saying that the gambling spirit resonates with me. I never thought of it this way. It's a great revelation. Lord, I pray for everyone who listens to this message that it would be a revelation, that they would know something, a new idea, a new insight. Questions, comments? Anyone really needing prayer in this area of healing and deliverance and maybe crop failure? I'd love to pray for you. It looks like we have Tiffany on the line. Tiffany, are you there? We may be having trouble with the audio. Tiffany, are you there? Because I am not hearing you. Let me try one more. Ezra, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm starting to think that the sound just wasn't working at all. We're hearing you just fine.
Okay, great. So I'm amazed at how much God works everything together for good. And I know that sounds churchy or whatever, but Thursday night at church, my pastor was going over about encouraging us and exhorting us not to fill our bodies with all the garbage of this world, to be called apart. And I know we've all been told, you know, be separated from this world, but just hearing how you expound, because we hear all the things about being separated, but nobody really expounded on the garbage going in and how we're gambling that we can listen to this music, the secular music, and not be affected by it, that it really does affect us so much. So thank you. That was actually a revelation. I'm glad you delved into that so much deeper than just more than the exhortations, which are good. I'm thankful for my pastor, very much so.
So God's giving you the 1-2 punch, the challenge, and then some practical tools to make that real in your life. So God, we just bless our sister, and we thank you that she has found someone to lock arms with, and I pray that they would truly find the truth that two are better than one. God, I thank you that they're going to be able to set the example and set the pace for others in the group who maybe are holding it back and a little nervous, like, wow, what if I want to be their partner and they don't want to be mine, or what if they ask me questions I don't want to answer? So I thank you that she stepped out and locked arms with another classmate, and I pray that more and more people would do that as well. Amen. And would love to hear from others of you. Brenda is asking, why aren't carrots on the list? They're a little high in sugar, but if you want to have some carrots, have some carrots. They're not on the list of eat as many as you want, but you can certainly have some carrots. But they're a little bit high in sugar. Another student says, this was eye-opening and heart-piercing. I'm amazed at how many things I identified with in my life. But the hope, of course, here's the hope, is that I can change my thinking and change things in my life a little bit at a time. And that is the entire premise here at the 90-Day Renewal, is that we change our lives little bits with consistency. We plant new seeds, and we believe that not overnight, but over time, that we're going to reap a harvest. So appreciate the feedback on that. Is there any others? If not, I know we've run a little over an hour. Okay, here's another one saying, I definitely need prayer in the area of the gambling spirit. I need to be more faithful in prayer. I want to hear God's voice daily, not just once in a while, because I know that that is the key to my victory. Okay, so let me pray in the area of spirit. Lord, I pray for my sister, and the issue, I think, is that there's so much other noise. And how interesting that I've had, like, the loudest day today. It's just been so loud. So loud. And I think that really is just a symbol for all of our lives. The world that we live in today is clamoring. It's always clamoring. God is in the whisper. God is in the still small voice. And we have to be so intentional. So I pray for my sister that amidst all the clamor, and a lot of times it's out of the noise level is out of our control. It's the world. It's other people. Lord, would you help us to be able to hear your still small voice, even in the midst of the clamor? As much as we can, I think we should turn it off, but sometimes we can't control it. So, Lord, would you tune our ears to hear from you? I pray that for my sister, and I pray that for all of us. Carolyn, you need to make sure that your microphone is on green, and then we'll be able to hear from you. Carolyn? I can. It's a little soft, but we can hear you.
The session today was very encouraging. my dilemma this week. I got an emergency call. My brother had passed since we met last week, and this week has been really challenging for me. But when we see from the, I see from, you know, the teaching today, how we, you know, we gamble in so many ways with our lives, and you know, just what God has given us, this temple. And so, I appreciate, you know, the impartation today, and even the grace of God, how it's so sufficient. And you know, it's my strength right now, and you know, in this time of weakness. So I just I ask for prayer.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for you, Carolyn. See, God knew. I'll go ahead and mute out your line. God knew. We have so many people, even in the other class, whose fathers, or we have like two people whose fathers have passed away, and just other losses and job losses and things like that. And you think, well, wait a minute. God, I signed up. You know, I'm going above and beyond here. I've signed up for this spiritual growth class in the summer. Everyone else is taking a vacation from God this summer. And, you know, I'm trying to grow in faith this summer. And what's up? Now I've faced this loss. I don't understand, but it's actually the opposite. God knew that you were going to be facing this loss at this time in your life, and that's why he brought you here. Do you see the difference? It's not like the loss of your brother suddenly interrupted the renewal. It's that God brought you here to the renewal. Precisely because he knew that you would need to be renewed this summer because you were going to lose your brother. And I just pray for everybody that we would be on high alert, and that we would understand that God brought us here to strengthen us, because there may be some things coming up in your life that are, you're going to need the strength. God wants you to grow in faith and become strong for, you know, whatever lies ahead. So we just pray for our sister, Lord, that you would give her comfort in the midst of her grief in losing her brother, and that you would just, even in a situation, like I know sometimes when we're grieving, it's just so tempting to comfort ourselves, to comfort, cope, and escape. And we all have patterns that we run to comfort, cope, and escape. And so the challenge now is not to repeat those old patterns, but to really run to God and to find a new way to run to the God of all comfort, to escape the things of this world and run to the throne room, and to change cope for hope, because that's what God offers us. We have some practical questions. Will apple cider vinegar take the place of lemon water? Yes. It does the same thing. You can do both if you want. Yes. Some people mix the lemon water and the apple cider vinegar. Perfectly acceptable. Another says, one thing that spoke to me significantly was that we are expecting God to do what he is expecting us to do. And I've fallen into that trap. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I see in the church in North America. I mean, my ministry has taken me to 6 continents. Probably the biggest thing I see in North America is a lot of Christians really misunderstand that we have a part, and that we are co-laborers. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Okay, so if you're yoked, if two animals are, you know, yoked together, or two people are yoked together, they both are working. They're both doing their part. They're both moving forward. You know, you don't have one cow laying down taking a nap and expecting the other to plow the field, right? And I think that there's a big misunderstanding about this. Jesus is saying, okay, yoke up with me, because, you know, we have some fields to plow. We have some seeds to plant. We've got some things to do. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way, and it's going to be easier because I'm with you and I'm carrying, you know, sharing the load with you. But you have a part to play. And I think that we don't understand that in the church enough. Another says, I like the idea of becoming a farmer for life. I'm trying to take hold of the little bits with consistency, and that starts with my morning routine. In week one, I've found the consistency of getting up with my lemon water and devotion, and it's getting to be something I look forward to. Aha, she's becoming a farmer. Before, I didn't even want to get out of bed. So I praise God. So Lord, I bless my sister. I bless my sister and all of my sisters with a new joy in becoming farmers, that they would begin to delight in the seeds that they're planting. Yeah, this is huge. One of the sisters says, and this we talk about this a lot in the 90-day renewal. I'm afraid I won't be perfect, so I'm just not going to do it at all. We call it the all-or-nothing mindset. It's huge. It's probably the number one enemy, the number one obstacle for a lot of people. I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm going to fail, I'm not going to do perfect, so then I'm going to have to start over. It's the all-or-nothing mindset. And the antidote to the all-or-nothing mindset is little bits with consistency. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the work, but I want the results. And I gamble in many areas. So, Lord, would you deliver us? Would you deliver us? Some of this stuff is spiritual. Would you deliver us from these negative and destructive mindsets? Someone says, this was so eye-opening. Don, I'm feeling overwhelmed. We hear that a lot. As soon as you feel overwhelmed, you just stop. Stop and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that you're not, this isn't you. You are not in this overwhelm. So Holy Spirit, would you just show me one thing that I need to do. One thing. I understand it's little bits with consistency, but there's so much to do because of years of neglect. So much weight to lose. So much clutter to get rid of. Yeah, I do have a suggestion. And we're going to focus on that in coming weeks. Some of these different areas. It's actually what I just taught last week to the other class, so I don't want to go ahead. But Holy Spirit today, Holy Spirit now, this hour, because the Holy Spirit is a wise counselor, and he's going to show you, you can't do everything. What one thing can you do that's going to have the greatest impact? Honestly, if you have a ton of clutter, I'll tell ladies, if they come in and they have a ton of clutter, I wouldn't even worry about anything else as far as your weight. The lemon water, your morning devotions, and deal with some of the big clutter. It'll make such a difference. But that's like week four or something, week five. I don't want to get too far ahead. But we've got 90 days together, and we will cover all of those. Hey. I'm going to share Linda. Linda says, I'm on a winning team. Donna, you're our cheerleader. Thank you so much for teaching us about the gambler versus the farmer. I take it to heart and will use these farmer tools to be on the path to becoming the person God created me to be. Yeah, the scriptures are there. Yeah. Yeah, under audios, you'll find both the affirmations and the scripture memory verses. And we do have a PDF of it. I'm desperate for change. I've prayed for everyone else and have been strong for them. I want to work and I want to pray and work for me now. I'm desperate for change. I'm turning away from gambling today. Today. I feel inspired. And this time I will do it in his strength and might. So I want to pray for everybody who agrees with that. Lord, we turn from gambling today. And we don't believe the lie anymore that becoming who you would have us be is somehow going to hinder what we're doing for other people. That's local or crazy. The greatest gift that we can give to the world is to become who you created us to be. The most important thing we can do today is become who you created us to be. There's nothing is more important than you becoming who you were meant to be. Because when you become who you were meant to be, everything else, everything that you were meant to do on this earth and everything that you are intended to have on this earth, every life that you're intended to touch, every impact you're intended to make, every victory you're intended to secure, all of that flows out of who you are. It all flows out of who you are. So nothing is more important than becoming who God would have you be. And God didn't make you to be a gambler. He made you to be a farmer. And let's go ahead and wrap there. That takes us to, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. So I think that was the last request. Appreciate those of you who raised your hands. I don't know why the we didn't get really full cooperation here with the electronics. So I could try one more time. Jean, are you there? Now, audio is not working for some of you. But thank you so much for being here live. I really hope this helped and that you will approach the rest of the 90 days like a farmer. Love you guys so much, and we'll see you on the Facebook group.